Thank you, Sandy. I'm thankful that Sandy is not a one-trick pony, that she can sing and play, and she doesn't have much of a voice right now. She's got laryngitis, recovering from laryngitis, and I know that's really bothered Kendall, it really has. He was actually talking to me about it the other day, that it's kind of a similar path that happened about 15 years ago or so, where she lost her voice for a while, and the doctors told her, just don't talk, don't do anything. And so I'm going to ask you just to be in prayer for Sandy this morning, that doesn't go that way. You guys are laughing. I'm not joking about this. I am totally serious. Be in prayer for her, if you would. And before we dive into the message, I am excited to start a brand new series with you that I'm calling Navigating Past Your Past. But before we get into that, I want to just acknowledge what this rose is all about. And this is in honor of little Grayson. This is Nellie Niece's little boy that was born this week. And we see great-grandma and great-great-grandma. How's that even possible, ladies? That's amazing. But we are so thankful. So would you just give the Lord a hand for how good he is? Janice and Dane, I know you guys are excited. He's a keeper. He's a cute little guy. But I want to start off this series by talking about something that it's difficult. I'm not going to lie. And that is forgiving someone who has hurt us in the past. And I know that this is hard for us to do, and sometimes it's even harder based on the seriousness of the offense. For example, if I were to ask you, how many of you have had someone that's hurt you in your life, by a show of hands, I'm sure that just about every hand would go up in this room. And what I've found is that sometimes it can be something that is just as simple as a misunderstanding. It can be something that's just as simple as miscommunication. And what happens a lot of times is Satan will take that misunderstanding and he'll take that miscommunication and he will just have a field day with it, and he will drive a wedge in between two people, and it can affect relationships in a negative way, and sometimes that happens for years and years and years. Sometimes it can be an outright intentional betrayal. Someone just did something to you that just out and out hurt you intentionally in a very, very cruel way. And I've noticed in my years of working with people that just basically by the odds, there are some of you here today right now that you're sitting out there, and right at the very front of your heart, you're thinking of someone that's hurt you. No. Someone has wounded you. Someone has lied to you. Someone has taken advantage of you. And just bringing up the subject or just hearing that person's name brings up an emotion in you, because you think, oh great, this is going to be tough, because there's a very fresh wound. And some of you have already maybe started to push back a little bit from what I'm about to say, because you're carrying a fresh wound with you. No? Maybe you were wounded in the past. You've kind of buried it at the bottom of your heart, and it's sat there for years, and you've not really dealt with it, but you've just kind of learned to go through everyday life, continuing in life, burying that, pretending like it's not there, and you go on acting as if everything's okay when there's still something very deep in your heart that's not okay. Maybe you've been, this has happened with me, I'll just be honest with you. Something happened in your family, no? And you just kind of bury that, and you forget about it, and you learn to live with it, and then you go to like a family get-together or a family reunion, and that particular person shows up, and then all of a sudden these emotions just start flooding in. You're like, oh man, where did that come from? And you didn't realize that you hadn't even really dealt with it yet. So my prayer today is that you deal with that. Maybe you bump into somebody in public and just out of nowhere, there's this rush of negative emotion that comes over you because you haven't biblically dealt with the hurt that is in your life. I'll give you an example. There's a couple of things that I don't really care for all that much. One thing, and this was in my younger days. I'm better now than I used to be, but in my younger days, when someone would tell me to relax or chill out, that did the exact opposite for me. Has anybody ever been there before? Now, you might not believe this, but when I was younger, I was a little bit of a hothead. And I was a lot higher energy than I am even now. And so when someone would say, Ron, you just need to chill. I didn't chill, okay? It just did not happen. And I struggled with that. I'm better about that now. And then the second thing is this. The second thing is don't ever, now I know none of you would ever do this. Maybe some of you would want to do this, but don't ever hit me. Okay? Please don't hit me because sometimes, you know, and if you're just playing around, that's one thing. You know, if it's an accident, that's one thing. But if you intentionally hurt to try to cause harm, that raises up the old Ron in me. Let me tell you a quick story. I was preaching in North Vernon at the time, and I was visiting someone in the hospital. And was talking with her and her husband, and the telephone rang, and she answered it, and it was her son on the phone, and her son said, "Mom, I'm going to kill myself." Click. Now, you as a mom, you think about what's going through your mind at that particular time. Oh, she was frantic. She's like, "Ron, is there anything that you can you go there? Can you hurry up and get there?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll run down as quickly as I can, but before I go, I'm going to call my associate minister, Daryl, or my children, or my associate minister, Gilbert, or my children's minister, Daryl, to see if they can get there, and we'll have them call the police, have people get to the house before I get there, because they're going to beat me there. I was up here, they were already down in Columbus." So they rush out there to the house. I get to the house. Everything was calm. The police were out in the yard. The guy was in the house. Daryl and Gilbert were in the house with the guy. And everything was calm until I walked in with the guy's dad. And the guy went after his dad. And Daryl and Gilbert grabbed him by the arm and kind of stopped him. Now, understand, Gilbert was 76 years old. And Daryl and Gilbert grabbed this guy by the arm. And Gilbert said, he called him by name, and he said, "Now, you don't want to do that to your dad, do you?" He goes, "No, I don't." And then he went after Gilbert, right? That's where I stepped in. I grabbed him and held on to him, was not going to let him get to Gilbert. I said, you don't want to do that to Gilbert. And he goes, "No, you're right. I should have learned from what he did the first time." And he relaxed and let go. He said, "You're right, I don't want to do that to Gilbert." And he turned around and he swung and he knocked me right upside the head. At that particular moment, I was not thinking turn the other cheek. I'm not going to lie to you, all right? I literally, it was from the adrenaline rush and the old Ron coming out. I literally picked him up, slammed him into the floor, and put my knee in the middle of his back. In the meantime, Daryl, my children's minister, goes out and gets the police and comes back in. And the police didn't do anything. He said, "Unless you want to press charges, we're not going to take him in." I'm like, okay. So I didn't do that. And so I dealt with that for a while. That was really bothering me. I did not like this guy. I had even seen him out in public a couple of times, and I'd be like, But then one Sunday morning, I'm preaching in North Vernon, and I'm preaching on the love and the grace and the mercy of God and just how wonderful he's been to me and how we should forgive others. And I look up in the balcony of First Christian Church in North Vernon, and there sat Sucker Punch Boy. And And I saw him for the first time. I didn't see him as Sucker Punch Boy. I did immediately. But it took a little bit of time, and I'm preaching on this and the love and the grace of God. And, you know, back in that house where he hit me and we had our little episode, you know, he was kind of like this Division I linebacker football kind of guy because I was telling the story. But then that particular day in the balcony, I saw him for who he was, a 5'8", 130-pound sinner in need of forgiveness from God, in need of forgiveness from me. I'm not going to lie, it was hard for me just to get through the service that particular day. It was almost as if when the service was over, I could not get to the back of the room quickly enough to try to meet this guy and apologize to him for the grudge and for the bad feelings that I was feeling about him. It wasn't his. I mean, he was on something. He was so messed up in his head, he didn't even remember the episode. What are the odds that on the day I'm speaking about the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God, that Sucker Punch Boy shows up? What are the odds? It's a God thing. And I think that there might be some of you here today that today is going to be a God thing for you. Maybe you didn't even plan to be here today, but you needed to hear this. There's something inside of you, maybe a hurt, maybe it's fresh, maybe it's something that's buried, but it's something that needs to be deal with. And I'm sure there are some of you who are sitting out there already. You've already got your guard up. You're starting to push back and you're thinking, you know what, I don't care what he says up there today. I'm not going to forgive that guy that did what he did to me. Because you don't know the hurt. You don't know what they did to me. And the truth is, I don't know. Someone might have gossiped about you. They might have lied about you. Someone might have taken advantage of you in some way. Maybe they betrayed your innocence. Maybe you have a spouse that was not faithful to you. Maybe you had a parent that was not the parent that they needed to be. Maybe they just flat out abandoned you. I've also found that it's just as difficult sometimes to forgive someone that has hurt someone that you love. I mean, I'm kind of this way. You can, well, I mean, don't test this, but you can do whatever you want to do to me. And it might hurt for a little while, but I'm going to get over it and I'm going to forgive you. I'll just tell you that right out of the gate. But you hurt my family, or you hurt a friend of mine. Sometimes that's harder for me to deal with. That's harder for me to forgive sometimes than if you hurt me. And so if you're pushing back today and you say, but you don't know. You don't know what they did. I just want to acknowledge I don't know, but God does know. And I know there's a lot of tragic things that go on in our world today, and I'll tell you this, I do know what it's like to be hurt. It might not be like what you were. I don't know what you're going through, but Jesus does. And Jesus has been through hurt as well. What I pray you'll do today is, during this challenging message, and it's going to be challenging, I'll pray that you will allow those things that you've buried for a long time to come to the surface and deal with them biblically. Okay? It might be someone at work that betrayed you. Maybe you're in a business deal and he or she said this and they didn't deliver. Could be that. Close friend betrayed your trust. A mom or dad did something that was absolutely awful, maybe over a period of years and years. It could be. Some of you are sitting out there and you don't have a great relationship with your child because of what your child has done. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's in the present. No. Maybe you're angry at someone that's no longer living. I want to deal with that today. I want you to deal with that. Maybe you're angry with God. You've prayed. And you've prayed, and you've prayed for God to do something that you know God can do. But for some reason, he's not done it. And you're like, why didn't you do it, God? Maybe you're angry at yourself. You're just having a hard time forgiving yourself for some of the things that you've done. What I've been praying for all week is that the impossible that you seem to think in forgiving someone, would the impossible that you are trying to do can become possible with God. Because honestly, there are some things that are that have happened to some of us in our lives that in our own strength, in our own power, in our own flesh, it's impossible to just say, I forgive you, and really mean it. You need God's help. And if there's unforgiveness in your heart, I'm praying that the power of the Holy Spirit and God's word would just penetrate your heart and help you to navigate past your past. So let's start with why. Why should I forgive? Why should I do it? There's lots of reasons. We're just going to deal with two biblical reasons. The first one is this: because unforgiveness hurts me. That's where we're going to start. Why should I forgive? Because unforgiveness hurts me. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 15, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Some of us are living our lives with a bitter root. We've carried that bitterness so long that we've allowed it to dig deep into the soil of our souls and plant firmly and not just stay there, but spread out into every other area of our lives. And somehow we've learned to function with this grudge in our lives, but there's this bitter root that is buried deep into our hearts. And we've learned to continue with that root of bitterness that grows in our hearts and continues to spread because we haven't dealt with it properly. And here's the deal. Scripture says love keeps how many records of wrong? None. Love keeps no records of wrong, but bitterness. Bitterness keeps a detailed account of wrongs, doesn't it? Well, he did this, and she said that, and they had this, and they. Did you see the way they were walking around? Did you see the way they carry themselves? I can't believe that they would do something like that. And there's this bitterness that we carry toward even brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's literally like a cancer to our souls. If we don't deal with it, it will kill us spiritually. I think that's a problem for some people in our church who feel like, well, I don't feel as spiritual. I don't feel as close to the Lord as I feel like I should feel or how I used to feel. Have you dealt with that root of bitterness that might be in your life toward someone? One reason we should forgive is because unforgiveness, someone put it this way, it's like grabbing broken glass and squeezing it in our hands. It hurts us. How many of you have ever played the game Angry Birds? Two, three. I'm assuming that there'll be a few more in the second service that have played that. It's an app that you can play on your phone or you can play on your iPad. And I can't figure. I don't understand the game. I don't know why it's so addicting, but it is. You know, they even have different versions of it. They have like Angry Birds 2. They have Angry Birds Star Wars. They have Angry Birds Rio Transformers. I mean, honestly, I don't know. You know, thankfully, I read this week that the Angry Birds movie is actually about, let me get this straight. Red, Chuck, and Bomb, along with the rest of Bird Island, are on an adventure to discover what made them so angry in the first place. Okay? If you haven't played, this is kind of how it works, all right? You're a little bird. You're an angry bird. And you're angry at pigs. Again, why? I guess I'm going to have to watch the movie. I got to figure all this out. But the pigs have built themselves into a structure. Sometimes the structure is wooden. Sometimes the structure is metal. But thank goodness, you have a slingshot, okay? And you can put yourself into the slingshot, and you can pull the slingshot back, and you can hurl your angry bird through the air to hit the structure, okay? And then you can tap on the screen, and the one bird becomes three birds, and you can try to destroy the pigs for whatever that was that they did to you. But you know what happens when you land? You got all this anger built up as an angry bird, and you're flying through the air to get back at these pigs. But when you land, you roll, and then you explode. Isn't that us? I mean, minus the slingshot and hurling through the air and all that other stuff. But isn't that what happens sometimes in our lives? We get so angry and we get so bitter, we get so upset, and we'll hurl insults and we'll talk about people behind their backs and we'll say things that they did to us or said about us. And what good is that doing? It's just eating you up to the point where sometimes you run into them, you just explode. Why would you want to go around holding a grudge that only hurts yourself? I heard a preacher put it this way once. Unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison and hoping that it kills the other person. That makes no sense. Yet we do it. Why should we forgive? Because it hurts me. Another reason? Because I will need forgiveness again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, 15, Jesus said very directly, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will" what? He'll not forgive your sins. As if to drive this point home, Jesus then tells another story. Told a story about a master who had a servant. The servant owed the master 10,000 talents. Now, if you just read through the Bible, it might not jump out at you all that much, but according to one article that I recently read, is that 10,000 talents is equal to about 150,000 years of labor. Translated into our day, if you take the median income in America times 150,000 years of labor, basically it's worth about $2 billion. This is how much the servant owed the master. $2 billion. Everybody's going, wow, he could never repay that. Even the text says that. He could never repay that. And so the guy, the servant, he begs for mercy. And the master has mercy on him and forgives him of the debt. And the servant immediately goes back to the village and there's another guy, right, that owed him money, basically just a day's wages. And the servant, who had just been forgiven of so much, has a guy come up to him and says, "Will you forgive me for the debt that I owe you?" And he said, "Nope, not going to do it." No. And the master found out about it. And here's what the Bible says, Matthew 18, 32 and following. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" Verse 34, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how. Now, Jesus says this, okay? "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." You got to do it. For the believer in Jesus, it's not optional. And it's interesting to me how in my own life, I can accept the love and the grace and the mercy of God like I do. Yet I'm not willing to give that same kind of mercy to someone who has wronged me. So why should I do it? Well, it's really bad for me, first of all. And number two, because God says that if I don't forgive people who have wronged me, then he won't forgive me. And you're probably thinking, well, okay, I agree with that. I know the Bible says that. That all sounds great. And I want to do that, Ron. I agree with what you're saying. I know that I need to forgive, but how do I forgive someone who ripped my heart out? How do I forgive someone who for years did so much to me? How do I forgive someone who has hurt somebody that I love? If I'm supposed to do it, how do I do it? How do I forgive? Well, the first thing that's very helpful to do, if you're taking notes, is this. That's pray. Pray for whoever hurt you. Okay? Now, don't pray that they have done to them what happened to you, okay? In fact, there's a country song you've probably heard. I cut and pasted this in just because I didn't think it was real. But it says, I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill. You've heard this song probably. Knocks you on the head like I'd like to. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. That's awful. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just know wherever you are, honey, I pray for you. Well, don't pray like that. You genuinely have to pray for the person who wronged you, even if you're tempted to pray like that. Don't. We pray like Jesus prayed while he was hanging on the cross. We pray like Jesus prayed as the creation was mocking and spitting on and killing its creator. And he said, Father, forgive them. And it's interesting to me that right while he's hurting the most, he prayed, Father, forgive them. Jesus taught very plainly, Matthew 5:43, he said, you've heard it said. In other words, this is what he's saying. You know, he starts that off by saying, you've heard it said. What he's saying is, this is a popular teaching. Everybody has heard this teaching from the time they were little. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and do what to your enemy? Yeah. I mean, he didn't say hate them, but that would have been normal. That would have been what they expected. That was how people acted in the day. It was totally normal then because really revenge, that was kind of like worship to them. That was kind of one of their gods. So it would have been very normal that people expected Jesus to say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It would have been normal for them to expect that, but that's not what he said. It would have been very normal because the Romans, that was their philosophy. The Jews, even their scripture said an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for a life. Someone cuts off your arm, you cut off their arm. You've heard it said, so what Jesus was saying is pretty normal. That's where most people live. But then he said something that was so shocking, so revolutionary, that the people that were listening couldn't even believe that he was saying it. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, chances are there's some of you out there right now say, I don't want to do that. Have you ever been? I mean, be honest. I've been there. I don't want to. Here's what I've found at different times in my life is that right actions can sometimes trigger right feelings. In other words, you do what you're supposed to do because you know it's right, even if you don't feel like doing it. And what can happen is eventually, as you are doing those right actions and are obedient to God, the right feelings then start to come. If you wait for the desire to pray for somebody who has wronged you, it's never going to happen. No, it's never going to happen. Because you're never going to have the desire to do that. You just jump in and you pray, and it's difficult at first. And I don't want to minimize the pain because it's hard. But some of you, that's where you just need to start and let God do a work in your heart. Some people, it can be like a switch, you know. I just choose to forgive. Other people, it's a process. But I'm telling you, work on the process. Start with prayer. How do I forgive someone who hurt me? You start by praying for them however you can. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is this, and that is forgive as you have been forgiven. Pray for whoever hurt you and forgive as you have been forgiven. Same way God forgave you. The same way Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross, forgave you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he has forgiven you completely, and he has forgiven you constantly. See, that's the thing that I talked about earlier. You're going to need forgiveness again. It's not like it was a one-time thing. When you gave your life to Christ and he forgave you, you're going to mess up again. And you're not planning on it, but I know all of you. You're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. Even if I didn't know you, I know you're going to mess up because the Bible says you're going to. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says this, and I love this verse. It's so powerful. Colossians 3:13 tells us to do this, though. Bear with one another. Notice there's times you may have to bear with somebody. In other words, saying Paul said, it might not be easy, but you bear with each other. It might not be clean. There might be some mess to it. You might have to hang in there. You might have to work through some things. There still might be some pain on the other side, but hang in there, bear with them, fight for it. And the Bible says, after we bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against someone. Well, how do I do that? That's the last part. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's how you forgive. You forgive as you have been forgiven. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you've been forgiven of a lot. All of us have. God has forgiven us of so much. I like when Peter asked Jesus one time, well, how many times should I forgive? Up to seven times. What did Jesus say? Oh, no. You forgive seven times 70 times. And I can just see the legalist saying, well, all right, I'll forgive 498 times, but 491, buddy, you're getting it. No. The idea is you just keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. I heard about a husband recently that actually had been hitting his wife. And the question came up, should I forgive him? And go back and hang in there. And my answer to that is no. Get out of there. Just because you have forgiven somebody for something that they have done, that does not mean that you have to put yourself back in that position to be hurt over and over and over again. Just because you have forgiven someone, that doesn't mean that that's going to automatically restore that relationship to what it used to be. Now, if any of you are sitting out there, and that's you, if you're in a situation like that, and you're a lady, and there's a guy hitting you, there's guys here at church, I know, some of them are saved, but they're just barely saved, and they'll do what I ask them. If I ask them to, I'm joking, sort of. Let God handle, get yourself out of that situation. Get your kids out of that situation. Forgive, but don't put yourself in that situation. That's not just an abuse kind of thing. That goes for any situation. If someone continues to hurt you over and over and over again, you don't have to open yourself up to that hurt. You can forgive without putting yourself right back in that same situation. The principle is this. The forgiven, us, forgive others. That's the way it should work. And I'm forgiven by Christ, and I didn't deserve it. I think we carry that attitude sometimes, don't we? Well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve my grace. How many of you deserve the grace of God? Not a one of us. So I pray that you'll let go of that bitterness, and that the Spirit of God would touch your heart, and that He might do a miracle in that situation. And as we have been freely forgiven, that we would forgive others who have wronged us. Here's what I want you to do as we wrap up. I want to ask you to stand with me and pray. And I just want to pray with you about maybe some things that you're dealing with in your life. And then we'll offer a song of decision. Let's all bow together.